We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, AllTrails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of Be, Create, Inspire. And this is where we really focus on business and the growth of business, what it takes, the mindset, the heart space, but also the technical side of things and why I love bringing amazing experts like Trent today from Team Builder OS. So welcome, Trent.
Thanks for having me, Ari.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always like to talk to my guests before we just jump on the podcast, obviously. And Trent told me that he owned a gym for like, what, 8-9 years, you said?
Exactly. Yeah. Better part of a decade is what I usually just say.
Yeah.
Because people know the pain when I say that.
Yes. And, you know, you guys know, or maybe you don't know, but I owned a yoga studio for almost a decade as well. And, you know, we were both like, oh yeah, those were the days. And before we get into that, Trent, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you, your role with Team Builder, what kind of software it is. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we'll put all the links below in the show notes so you guys can go check it out yourselves.
Perfect. Okay, I get to talk about myself, my favorite. No, I'm just kidding. So my background is I ran a gym, like Ari said, for better part of a decade. And then I started having kids. Oh. So running a gym or fitness business and having children at home while your spouse also works is very challenging.
Yeah.
So kind of hit the crossroads, having our second child on the way. I was like, I need to do something else. Kinesiology degree doesn't open a lot of doors typically. Team Builder had an opening for customer success, and that's where I started. And then we kind of naturally had, right as I got hired, we were bringing on this new platform that was specific to like studio or fitness business, gym business management. And so it just worked out really nicely. I had like 6 to 8 months kind of on board. I started running this product, quote unquote. So yeah, that's how we got here. It's a long winding road, but we made it.
Yep. I know. I didn't have my daughter when I had my studio, and I know that it would have been a very different lifestyle because, you know, there's days that you're in, you know, in your gym, you're in your place for 10, 11, 12 hours, maybe more. I remember, you know, alarm going off at 3 o'clock in the morning. And because I lived the closest, mm-hmm. we had to go at 3 o'clock in the morning to turn off the alarm thinking, oh my God, did we just get broken into? So yeah, a lot of people, when they don't run their businesses in the most effective and optimized way, you end up just sucking your time dry. Mm-hmm. So I feel like time management, my two favorite words for those of you guys in my coaching, you know, are effective and efficient. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like how did, you know, I know you had the kids and you had to change jobs, but now looking back, what do you think you could have done to still have your studio and to have the kids and, you know, being time wealthy?
But this is probably not like the most tactical answer, but this is where my head immediately goes is I would have hired a mentor or some kind of like paid advisor on day one. I waited until I was about ready to close to bring someone on, which was great because they walked me through all of that, because it was a kind of a nightmare as I'm sure you know. So that would be first advice because they can really, like when you're in the weeds, sometimes it's really hard to figure out what rabbit you actually need to chase. When you have someone that's sitting above it all and ideally has industry experience, they can be like, Trent, all right, don't worry about those two things. They'll take care of themselves. Here's where you need to direct your energy. So that would be what first thing is get someone from the outside that knows what the hell they're doing, have them as a sounding board. The second thing, like as far as like getting tactical, man, it's tricky because I did so many dumb things. I guess where I would say is find, this is going to be like pretty vague. I apologize, listeners and watchers. But if you have the ADHD that I do and you're like, I got this new tool, it's going to help me organize all of my things. And then I saw this new one, that especially nowadays where you see a new tool come out every week.
Yeah, you can vibe code and happen.
Exactly. Find something that at least like works for now, and then do not change it for like ideally like 3 to 6 months, if not longer, because you're going to waste more time setting up your system again of your task manager, your lead follow-up, program writing, whatever it is. You're going to spend more time just creating the thing that actually helps you do the thing than actually doing it. So that's what I waste a lot of my time on. I was like, I could make this more efficient and effective, but what I was actually doing was just like piddling, like spinning wheels, essentially.
Yeah, no, I love that. And honestly, like, I think a lot of us who are entrepreneurs and tend to be founders and owners, I like to say we're extra creative, right?
We're something.
Idea generators. So there's always like, you know, how, like, yes, it's the shiny, it's the squirrel. And, and sometimes the squirrel is price-based. Like, it's like, oh, I can save money with that thing. And it ends up costing you more money.
Or time, which is time, arguably which is more expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a quote from one of my mentors right now. And he said, you know, how to be a time billionaire. And really, like, he said, if you had the option to have $1 billion or to have 1 billion seconds, he's like, take the 1 billion seconds, because you can make billions upon billions of dollars.
Yes. The billion is finite dollars, but yeah, with the seconds you could in theory make, there is no limit.
There is no limit.
In theory. So yeah.
It was kind of like an awakening. It's, you know, and I talk about this a lot in my coaching, but when I had a mentor, I've had lots of mentors, as you can tell. And he asked me, he's like, well, how much more money do you want to make? Like, what's your goal? And I was like, I want to 10X my business. And he immediately was like, why are you limiting yourself? I was like, I don't know. I thought 10X was great. You know,
I'm okay. 15, 100. Fine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I get it.
But it is a good point, because it's kind of like, I mean, I think what he was really getting at is like, what happens when you get to 10? Like, you're going to want to do another 10. So it's think bigger than just X. It's how do I get to where this is like a lifestyle that I can sustain? Yeah. And it's ideally makes a pretty good amount of money.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, you know, the universe doesn't say I'm going to 10X myself tomorrow. It just grows. So there's no limit. And I thought
there's no end. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So tell me a little bit about, let's talk a little bit about Team Builder OS. Since obviously, guys, they're sponsoring this podcast. So, but what? No, I feel like you guys have a couple of cool aspects to it. So number one, it's the studio management software, which we all know if you have a studio, the days of punching cards is done. Even though I feel like
my 10th sandwich, I'm back. Yeah.
It could still work in theory and right. Like why? So, but I know this might not apply to all of us here, but I thought it was quite interesting. The whole like quantitative side of things. Can you just talk about it? Because there might be some people in here that this would apply to. And I feel like if we don't talk about it, it's not fair.
Yeah. So I think like to give you just like before we get super deep into it, it's more my thesis on when we're building out and, you know, planning new things for this software is kind of what we were just talking about. Like you don't need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to how you do run your business. Like the basics are the basics for a reason. It's because they work. All of these new things that are coming out, like I love AI, don't get me wrong. I'm in Claude Code all the time, but I'm not going to do it at the expense of like the apps, the A, Bs and Cs of the things I need to do every day. So with OS, we're keeping that same ethos. Like we're never going to build a like marketing suite into it because we're not good at it. Like we as a company are not good at building it. if I'm being brutally honest, I think most solopreneur gyms don't really need like a super robust marketing suite. Yes, you need some kind of like email marketing platform.
Send your email. But guys, send your emails.
Yes, but it doesn't need to be like native and super complex where you have like these 15 different touch point or like workflow touch points. So it's always going to be everything you need and nothing you don't. And so with that, what are like specific to like our quantitative analysis of your business, like within our like reporting suite, it is stupid simple. Because one reason is I found when I was running my business was all of these platforms, like, so I opened my gym in 2016 and closed it in 2023, 2024-ish. Yeah, something like that. God, all runs together. But as that, you know, that 8-9 year period, the reporting suites got more and more complex.
Yeah.
And I found that I trusted the data I was looking at less and less and less because I didn't know where they were like getting this from. Like they were pulling out calculations for numbers. I was like, I don't think you actually have data to prove that that number is right. Like if I were to get under the hood, you'd be pulling data or numbers that aren't actually applicable to like an LTV or, you know, average revenue per member type of thing. Like, I don't believe you. So ours is always going to be stupid simple because we think there's not that many numbers that you have to know and they're not that complex.
Yeah.
If you want to get complex, we have ways that you can pull your data out and you can plug it into your Claude code or your Google Sheets that you're running, and then you can get jiggy with it if you want to. But we are just never going to take it upon ourselves to do that like deep level interpretation for you because it's just not in our wheelhouse. It's just not. We're not going to do a great job. And everybody's context is different too. Like we talked about before we hit record, we work majority right now at the moment with like sport-ish performance facilities where they're typically training like middle school, high school, college athletes. The numbers and metrics that they want for their business might look a little bit different than someone running like a yoga or a Pilates studio, just based on how the memberships operate, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we are always going to keep it simple and like try to walk the narrow path and not get off into these like bloated software territories that we see nowadays.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Like we won't name names. And when like I had one software that it was like insanely expensive and I couldn't like use half the features all the time. And then if I wanted to use a feature, I had to pay the next tier and then the next tier. And it was like, dude,
it's only $30 for the price of 5 McDoubles. You can, yeah, type of thing. Yeah.
So what are some of the, like, let's talk about metrics. Cause I'm big fan. I was not until I realized that math is math and business is math.
Yes, sadly.
And knowing, you know, churn and burn, knowing, like you said, like your LTV, lifetime customer value, for those of you who don't know, these are really important numbers because if you can keep a member for years, that member's worth like millions of dollars to you. Because every like customer acquisition is expensive. Every new client that you get through the door, unless they're a referral or, you know, they just happen to like walk, whatever. Even for me that I run 100%, well, 99% an online business, every new person on my email lists usually costs me either time to do a piece of content, to like create an opt-in, to, you know, put together a webinar, or money because I'm running ads.
Yeah.
One client that's with you, like I have clients that have been with me for 3-4 years. I'm like, I freaking love you.
Yeah, so it's invaluable. Yeah.
So yeah, talk to me about the numbers.
So we have like, we have four or five main reports. First two are kind of like revenue facing. First one is just like a sales report. Literally any money that's coming in the door, we're tracking for you. So that could be a membership. It could be something like a class pack, just 10 classes, a t-shirt, retail, whatever. That all gets dumped into one report. You can then filter by either like searching that, almost like a, you know, command F, like you can search and then match. So if you need to do some kind of like tax harvesting, you could say, cool, I want to look at all my retail sales. Cause where I live in Louisiana, services like a gym membership don't necessarily get taxed because they're paying for coaching as opposed to access. But
so
I just need to submit all that to my bookkeeper every month. Boom, search, export, send it to them. Second revenue facing one is our memberships report. So this is only going to pull in recurring revenue. So that's where you're going to get a decent picture of your ARM, your average revenue per member. And then you get, like your kind of active member count, quote unquote. Because yes, if someone who has a package is an active member, like if their credits are still good, but the ones that really drive the business are the people that pay every month, ideally without stopping. And then that also turns into a bit of a forecasting tool because we populate all of your numbers into eternity. And so if you have like a big drop off, like a lot of our sports performance facilities, they're very seasonal. Yeah. So summer's actually huge for them. Where in my business, when I was training adults, the summer sucked.
Yeah.
They can skip forward to June and see, cool, I'm losing 10 members. My revenue is going to be way down or vice versa. So those are the first two. And they just, like I said, they're giving you basic revenue numbers so you can see, how did I do compared to last month? Am I on track to cover my expenses? And then I get a little bit of forecasting. And then the other two are more like internal, like I guess simple way, we have a payroll report, which might be important if you have contractors. If you have W-2 employees, not going to really help you. Obviously, you should know what you're paying them, hopefully every 2 weeks or every month. And then our second to last report is our attendance report, kind of what it sounds like. How many times have people come, their kind of average attendance, et cetera. But then the last one that is brand spanking new and arguably the most important one is kind of it's got like three pieces to it. Churn, an at-risk report. So that would be someone who has active credits, but you haven't seen them in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where the hell are they?
Yeah.
And then the third element of that report is like it's similar to the at-risk. It's like, hey, this person either has a package that's about to expire or they have one or two credits left, kind of depending on how many they bought. We'll flag. Like if they bought 20, we're going to flag it when they have two. If they only bought five, we're going to flag it when they have one. But so like all of those, like there's nothing crazy complex in there.
No.
We are just pulling data that you are putting in automatically, like not whether you know it or not, like you want to give us that stuff. And then we just pull it and format it so that you can see exactly like, who do you need to contact? Because you haven't seen them in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you need to contact because they're about to lapse on their package about to run out and maybe they're unbeknownst to them. And then you can get some like basic revenue numbers that you need. Ideally, you know your monthly recurring revenue. Ideally, you know like your true gross revenue, including like your non-recurring sales. And then you have an idea of like what your ARM is. The thing that we like, the one that we're still trying to weave in there nicely is this, the LTV.
Mm-hmm.
LTV is tricky to calculate because it's, in theory, it's just like, cool, I add up all the invoices that I see in Trent's account. And that's his LTV.
Okay. Right.
Yes. But then like averaging that out across the account gets a little weird because again,
Because there's lapses.
So we're still like kind of noodling with that. The place where it shows up now is the at-risk or the churn report, where it's like, cool, Ari churned, her LTV was this, reason she canceled and things. So like it at least highlights it there. So you know, like, oh, I don't know if we can cuss, censor me if you need to. Oh, I'm losing this person. And that was a massive hit. Like they were, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, but depends on what you charge membership, whatever. So yeah, but the LTV is a little trickier because like I said, we want to do it right. We don't want to feed you BS information. So we're tepidly dipping our toe in there.
Okay. And so I have an e-commerce store and I can see some similarities in terms of like the LTV, but at the end of the day, like and this is, you know, in general for you guys who are listening, like if you can look at your business and you can see this churn, like to me, churn is almost more important than an LTV number because 100%. Now I'm like, how can I fix that constraint? Like, why did this person churn? Why did five people churn? Like, why did 20 people? Like, I'm doing something maybe not as optimal. I don't want to say wrong because we're never doing anything wrong, right? But what am I doing that can be improved? Like, can I reach out to people? Can I improve my sales process? Can I, you know, incentivize people? Like, people love free, you know, they like to win the shirt. You know, you got a shirt. Mm-hmm. You came 20 times. You got a shirt. You got a shirt. So is there ways, maybe they're going to my competitors. Can I, Like, this is something I don't do in my business, and I should really, but I don't like to, so I just avoid it. It's like, why didn't you buy? Right? Like 20 people came to my webinar and 2 people enrolled. Why didn't the 18? So if I can ask, right, why didn't you buy? And I'm sure I could automate it, so it's like out of sight, out of mind. But yeah, to get that feedback is almost priceless. Oh, it's too expensive. Oh, I have another mentor right now. Or like, hey, I found a gym down the street. Or you know what? Your place smells bad. Like, there could be so many reasons why people don't buy. But if we don't have that data, and then we can't reach out to them. And something that for all of us to just be cognizant of is that probably 80 to 90% of our time as a business owner should be spent in marketing and sales.
Yes.
So if you're, you know, like, oh, let me fix the, I like to say, like, I'm going to clean the baseboards today, and you're having a slow revenue month, like, baseboards don't matter. Optimize, like, start calling your past members. And again, if you hate doing that kind of stuff, like I do, like, have somebody else do it. Hey, I'm the sales manager. Even if it's your cousin and you hire them for like $12 an hour, pretend that they're your sales manager. Hi, I'm the sales manager for X and Y business. You haven't been here in 3 months. How do we, you know, we'd love to extend your pass or give you a free class or whatever. Because that's going to make the difference in your business versus coming up with like new things or getting uber creative. And it really is like marketing and sales. And I've been talking a lot about this lately, and it's because, you know, when something's in your awareness space, it keeps coming at you in different ways. And it is really about looking at that like constraint, because that constraint, if you can find the one thing, right? And I believe Alex Hormozi talks about this, but now like my mentor is talking about it, and then I read it somewhere else. I'm sure Alex Hormozi did not come up with this whole constraint thing. So sorry, Alex, I'm not going to give you all the credit if you're listening to this.
You're a smart guy, let me be clear, but
yes. Oh my God, absolutely. But like, if you look at your business and you say, I want, you know, I need to make $20,000 a month. I'm not hitting it. Why? I just say, start asking better questions to your business. I don't have enough people. Why? I'm not posting on social media. I'm not running ads. I'm not going to the, you know, I'm not doing joint ventures. I'm not, okay, great. Well, let's try to fix that constraint, because then the next constraint will appear. But we have to ask questions. We have to be inquisitive. And this is why, if you don't have data, and like you said, like that simple data, how do you know? How do you know how many clients haven't shown up in the last 6 months? How do you know how many people are in your membership? Because that's the gold in any business, guys, that monthly recurring revenue, like all day long.
Yep. I think a thing too that you're highlighting is like another reason why, I mean, I hate to toot our own horn again, but I'm gonna. Main reason why we don't pull in a lot of like the marketing pieces of this, like lead tracking, setting up funnels within OS, is because in our minds, like you said, 80, 90% of your job as the gym business owner should be the sales and marketing piece. I don't think that really has a place in the platform where you're managing your active members, because it gets very muddy quickly. Because like, I remember when I was doing it, and I used many a platform, when you would go look at like your roster of profiles, and you know, you had, let's say you had 150 members, but the number of profiles you see is like 420. You're like, well, this is so messy and hard for me to make sense of. It's actually easier if that's in another spot that, let's be real, that platform's almost certainly going to do better than the version that we would build. It's probably going to be cheaper, because if we build it, it's going to be expensive because we suck at it. So it's going to take longer, which then you're going to eat that, because we got to make money somehow. So that's like there is nothing wrong with kind of siloing that sales and marketing data. In fact, I would highly encourage you to do that, because then once they're in your ecosystem and they are a paying member, cool. They kind of move out of your CRM, or not move, but transition to a different stage. Yep. They get plugged into your member management, and then everything's very clean and orderly, yes. And you can see what the hell is happening.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm working with a jiu-jitsu studio, and they have their, you know, internal CRM, which is very like, here are your belts, here's the levels, here's, you know, the members. And now we're building everything on my platform on Arise, which I built on High Level. And we're running the funnel, the website, the automated emails, because that's perfect. So now I get to run that, which I'm the expert in, and they get to really focus on the inside of their business and connect with their clients and, you know, incentivize, you know, all the things that they need to do internally, like operations wise. Mm-hmm. Super cool. Super cool. And so let's do a plug for Team Builder. Why would tell us a little bit about like the other than the reports, like some other features of Team Builder, and maybe some pricing. So people at least get an idea.
Absolutely. So the number one feature, and it's not a feature necessarily, we take great pride in this. Whenever you email our support team, you will never, ever, ever get an automated responder unless you email us like over the weekend, which we'd be like, hey, we'll be in touch. We have not outsourced any of our support. It is all us. Most of us, not that it matters, but most of us are based in the States. So you are always going to have someone who is like actually reading your email, actually responding to you and trying to figure out what your problem is, or if you have a request that we can satisfy. Mm-hmm. So that's number one thing, like human customer support without all the BS that you get a lot of times from these bigger platforms.
Gigantic companies, right?
Yes. Other features, the two or three that kind of jump out at me is number one is a kiosk to allow people to check themselves in, which kind of like pairs with the free mobile app, which is kind of be like not having power windows in a car. Like, what decade is it? So they get an app, obviously, where they can check in. But once they're in the facility, there's a nice, very professional looking check-in kiosk. They can check themselves in because, as you mentioned, most of your audience is a solopreneur. I didn't have a front desk person. Your boy was the front desk. And I was also on the floor running the session. Doing everything else under the sun, loading bars, all that crap. So when they come in, they didn't have to bother me. They just checked in, came in, put their stuff down, did their warm up, whatever. So that's the first thing, because it feels professional. It's not a huge feature, but it just makes you feel professional.
Yeah.
The second thing would be, this is like more specific to like the yoga industry, but we actually have a live stream feature, you can actually, you set it up like you would a normal class. People go into the app. Cool. I want to book this live stream with Trent at 10 a.m. And then we have an automation where we will send them whatever link you want to send them.
Okay.
Now what's nice is it actually doesn't have to be like a Zoom link or something. If you wanted to set up a live stream that was like a pre-recorded class that you like had hosted on YouTube or Vimeo or something, that can be sent out. And so everyone in theory is doing the same thing at 10 a.m. It's just separately, classic like work from home stuff. And then the next one, this is one, if you're a gym owner or yoga studio owner, you will appreciate this, but everyone else is going to be like, really? That's the thing? Is our basically ability to help you track down failed payments. Because I know when I opened up my business, I didn't realize how much of like a tax collector you kind of end up being. It's very much the classic, like 20% of the people are 80% of your problems.
Yeah.
80% of my people never had to worry about it. Thing cleared. The 20%, damn it, dude, your payment failed again. What the hell?
Right.
So we have it like front and center when you first open up your like dashboard or admin view. That says, hey, here are all your failed invoices or invoices that have failed payments. We tell you like what attempt we're on. Like, is this the first, second, or third? When was this last attempt? We have a full like history of like what is going on with that invoice, including like the basically why did it fail? Was it insufficient funds? Is there just no card on file? Did it expire? So you know exactly why it's failing. Right. And then we give you two options as to how to handle it. Because the way I handled it when I did it was, all right, I see Ari is coming in today. When she comes in, I'm just going to have a chat with her. Hey, Ari, I saw your card failed. Do you mind, like, I have a button here. I can retry it really quickly. Do you care if I retry it? That feels a lot more personal than the second option, which is you can send them a very friendly email that just says, hey, you have an outstanding invoice. Please click here to pay. So we give you options so that way you don't. Because like I said, I didn't like the like, hey, I'm just going to fire off an email without any kind of like previous conversation. I wanted it to be personal because You don't know what someone's financial situation is like. You don't want to assume that they just are an idiot, which is easy to do, especially working with people sometimes and you get jaded. You're like, this bozo is trying to rip me off.
Yeah.
So those are the three that like instantly kind of come to mind that are, would be applicable to a yoga or Pilates studio or just any kind of wellness business, but then also are a bit general as well.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Everybody needs to track down failed payments.
Don't matter what you do. Everybody does. Like, I do it in my business as well. Yeah. So, and how much, like, give me a
pricing. A ballpark. Yes. Yeah. So ours, it's very simple. It's $200 a month or $2,000 a year. And that includes everything.
Everything.
There are no upsells. There's no limit on member or staff profiles. The biggest thing about that price point is we do not take a cut of any revenue.
Okay.
There's a lot of these member management or gym management systems.
They'll take 5%.
Correct. Their business model is actually payment processor skinned as a gym management software.
I
get it. Trust me. It's very lucrative and it's a lot easier to say it's only $50 a month, but actually you get them on the back end. We will never, ever institute any kind of like revenue scraping. Yes, Stripe, our payment processor, they take their cut.
I was going to say your normal like credit card. But
2.9% and 30 cents. That's all you're going to lose. We don't take anything. We don't think it's, I don't want to say fair. It feels dubious for us to make more money just because you are making money.
You're making more money.
Technically, our platform enables you to do some things, but like we didn't make the sale. We didn't do their onboarding. Why the hell should we necessarily benefit from that?
Yeah.
It always it seems a little bit bass-ackwards in my head.
No, I hear you. I'm a big fan of just like super transparent processing and fees and everything. That's why I asked, I was like, how much is it? And $200, guys, like, I mean, that's a blip. If $200 can help you make, you know, $20,000, $30,000 a month, if not more, it's a blip. So I'm so glad that I had you on. So everybody please, like check out Team Builder. I believe, you know, they're a small company, smallish, obviously. And it's nice to work with people like that because you do get that personalized approach. And Trent here is in charge of a lot of things in the company. So I'm sure you even can ask him questions if you need to. Don't annoy him.
If you want it, I'll plug my email. Yeah. So be careful what you send me. So it's just Trent, my first name, T-R-E-N-T at teambuilder.com. Shoot me a message. Happy to connect and show you the ropes or answer questions.
All right. Well, so I can't wait for you guys to check out the software and stay tuned for all the episodes that we have upcoming, talking about funnels and sales and things that are going to help you move your business forward. And of course, if you're ever interested in knowing how you can work with me, all my links are below to my free masterclass and to my software, which is very different than Team Builder, but it's a beautiful community and membership. So I'll see you guys in the next episodes. Bye, everybody.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.